The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome to it. The weekend edition is here. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Have you thawed out yet? Maybe some of you were in high school football last night. Little early reminder that it's no longer, it's still fall, but man, it felt closer to winter. No flurries, thank the Lord, but it was chilly last night. It was football weather. It'll be football weather tonight in West Lafayette as Nebraska descends on Purdue. And a night kickoff. Great to have you along on Hail Varsity Radio. Can join us this morning. Can tap the line, Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. We are efforting, yay or nay, Colton? Maybe. Someone has decided to throw a curveball here as we're trying to get Mr. Mark Kranak. We can be found on email at Hail Varsity, Chris at HailVarsity.com. Can get in touch with us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt_radio. And as always, can dial us up 466-377-6800-825-5865. So what's on tap today? We'll get a rewind segment for you in about 25 minutes. That conversation with Nebraska Athletic Director Bill Moose. He joined us on Thursday during the week. So our conversation with Mr. Moose, and in hour two, Brandon Vogel going to join us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. He is in West Lafayette getting ready to cover Nebraska Purdue. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, is going to join us around 8:30 this morning. Well, break this thing down here. And it's pretty simple when you look at this ball game for Nebraska. It is a chance for this team and this staff to kind of step in the same direction forward after, I don't know about you, but really a long 2 weeks. Just an enormously long, energy-draining just atmosphere of doubt, remorse, and frustration. And you and I didn't even play against Ohio State. So that's, to me, what is so much about being front and center for Nebraska tonight. It's how do you look? How do you come out? How do you execute? How badly do you want to be there? So that is front and center. And look, it's not fun, but you're kind of used to it right now, aren't you? As a Nebraska fan the last few years, things eventually turn sour with whoever's the head coach. It seems like you've been cursed with that. And you start looking for the next guy. And that's been the conversation. Hey, why don't you try dialing him on the phone line? We'll go that route as we get Mark Kranak in here. So you have Nebraska and you have a bunch of coaches that, man, they are all about winning. They are all about trying to get this team back to where they're competing for championships. And it just hasn't happened. Right? It just hasn't happened. And it's gotten worse before it's gotten better for this Nebraska team. And going back to August, I'm very guilty of the hype train, the machine that said, okay, here's 10 wins I find on the schedule. Here's a quarterback that hasn't played in a while, but man, he's supposed to be awesome. And it took him a while to kind of acclimate. And then you have a defense that is amidst transition. And I'm not making excuses. I'm explaining to you why the things have gone sideways as to part of the reason that you're sitting right now at a game under 500 if you're Nebraska. And that's not okay. That's not expected. And it's not only that it's looked bad at times that you are under 500, but you haven't seen any fire. And I think that's most disappointing with Nebraska fans. And Crane Ackland's bring you in. Sorry about the delay there. Someone forgot to put a quarter in the machine. We had to
run. It happens. It happens.
We had to run to the swear jar and grab some quarters to put in the machine to get you connected. But today is not only just about winning for Nebraska, but also giving a damn today about Nebraska. And you have so many elements swirling around going into this game. You're underdogged. You have the Scott Frost watch that is that has continued to intensify, and then you have a real, if you're a Nebraska fan, fear of, dare I say this, losing 2 out of 3 to Purdue. I mean, so you need something good to go right for you. A lot of season left. The evaluation will be in person by Bill Moose, and he'll be part of our rewind in 15 minutes. So there's a lot to play for this season, and right now Nebraska fans are wondering what type of effort they're going to get from their guys on top of being underdog to a team that, while they're better, it's been a program that's been a laughing stock for a number of years.
You can't lose to Purdue. You know, it's in an era where it seems like every loss has been a quote-unquote new low for the program.
Right.
I mean, how many of those have we been through in the last, 10 years? That's a new low right there.
You're running out of new lows, aren't you?
Yeah, now they've hit rock bottom. This is it. This is what rock bottom feels like. Is it? It was this game a couple years ago that completely flipped. This is where things changed for Nebraska a couple years ago. In a bad way, right? Mm-hmm. This is where they did hit rock bottom. And after that, turned it around. No one saw the Michigan State win coming. It's just, what makes this so difficult, though, is it just feels like the writing is so on the frickin' wall.
Yeah.
That it is a lost season. That it doesn't matter. And if you're a player, who are you looking towards to kind of right that ship? Well, I guess your team leaders, your captains, your seniors. There aren't any frickin' seniors that play. There's like 4.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? Like there are just such like good arguments on both sides. You cannot, so if you're a fire Riley, get rid of Riley person, this isn't going to work person. You got to admit that he's pretty hamstrung with his senior class. And you can blame Bo, you can blame Mike Riley when he first got here. Not going the JUCO route or whatever. But, it's probably a combination of both those things. Mm. But, dude, I mean, this squad has, like, 0 senior leadership. Like, it doesn't exist. I've never seen anything like it.
Mark, I want to stop you real quick and just go to that. I mean, you have 2 vast different leadership styles that converge together. The way Bo led a team, the way Riley's tried to lead a team.
Can we give the "this is going to sound like psychobabble" disclaimer? Yes.
I'm saying you have. There's no gray area between it.
Yeah.
You have one you have one or the other, and neither has worked. One worked better, 9-4, and the other is, you could argue, not hands-on enough, and it kind of depends on where you sit from a parenting style. Do you let the kid figure it out themselves, or do you hover and go hands-on with instruction? And right now, these guys need to step up and be accountable because they're 22, or, maybe you need to be more hands-on because they're only 22, here's your result. And what seniors do you have? Chris Webber, lead by example guy. Really tough kid that does it the right way. But is he in people's kitchen? I don't know. Maybe that starts today. Josh Kalou, injured a ton. Hard to be a rah-rah dude or a vocal guy when you're not playing. DeMornay Pearson-L, who knows where he's at mentally because it's his senior season. He's busted his butt to get back from injury. He's made some plays, but from a defeatist standpoint, every time they get in the red zone to start a ball game, there's 0 points scored, it feels like, okay? So the small senior group you've got, what success have they tasted? What can they kind of point back to in their career to pull everyone else back up and say it's going to be okay? All they've seen is misstep and falling short. And that's their career at Nebraska. They've had some moments where maybe they've won 9 games, maybe where they've won a bowl game, whatever. But half of their time here has been it's been tumultuous. And it's been either one of their coaches, both of their coaches have been under siege. This senior class needs to be looked at as a group that has experienced, you know, you'll never forget your college experience. These dudes won't, because they've seen and been through everything, and they could be a class that has gone 2-2 against Purdue.
Yeah, God. I can't believe you just said that. It's true, though. That's where this thing is. And, you know, as Bill Moose goes and watches the team.
I didn't go too psychobabble there.
No, not too psychobabble. I think if look, I think what Bill Moose is going to see in Purdue is going to tell him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what you saw against Ohio State was just
lifeless.
And I know it's Ohio State, whatever. It's just I cannot get over the fact that, you know, if you're trying to rebuild, if this is a rebuild, what behaviors are you reinforcing? You know, and I almost don't even care. So if it's going to be a rebuild, if you're going to get stomped by 60 or by 50, how are you putting guys on the field that clearly, and this is, I don't even need to name names, because I know everybody's, if you follow the team and you think cornerback position and you think about the sport of tackle football, you're seeing some mismatches, right?
Yep.
How does that person get on the field, let alone start, let alone remain on the field? I don't care who's backing him up. I don't care if it is a sophomore walk-on that runs a 5-2 from Brainerd. It's just like you cannot tolerate that. You can't put it on the field and expect that your team is going to have respect, that your team is going to give it their all. Like, if that's what's rewarded. And we talked about that in the summer. Remember in the summer?
Mm-hmm.
When said person that I'm talking about was anointed a starter.
Right.
And we're like, how? What has this person must be having amazing practices, or just be this ungodly athlete that you can't keep off the field.
It turns into given versus earned.
And this will sound like, I guess, that I'm trying, right. This will sound like I'm trying to just come down on this one person. That's not it. Because if the coaches are allowing it to happen.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And that's just a glaring example. I think mainly because of the position that he plays, that they're on an island. You see it, right? Like it's a lot easier to detect. But how many other situations like that are happening throughout the team? And so if you're on the team, what is your incentive to bust your ass, to push the starter in the hopes that you're going to get on the field, when performances like that on Saturdays when it matter are allowed to happen? That is absolutely coaching. There's a lot of other gray area, right? There's is it talent? Is it coaching? Is it recruiting? Is it development? Is it, you know, these things that you can't really tell? That for sure, the people who are playing on the field is a coaching decision, and you're letting that happen. That's why we're at where we're at least in part.
Are you going to play the best player, and did the guy that earned the starting spot really earn it, or is it some sort of bigger plan to continue this recruiting machine where, look, you come out from the West Coast, you're going to play early, we'll get you to the league, yada, yada, yada.
What's the point of that if you're not going to be around?
Well, not only it's chicken or egg. Hey, guys, we got to go get some talent. We got to go get some NFL dudes. Listen, you've got a guy down there that is, for lack of a better term, doing his NFL GM gig at the college level. The former athletic director is taking input and points for success from him. Then it's filtering down to the head coach, where the head coach, it's his job to run the program, but how much say has he had?
And that's weird.
No, it is, man. And then it's all about hype and foam and style versus the substance on the field. And that's where this thing first got broken.
Yeah. With the coach. And is that something you can resurrect?
No.
Can you suddenly develop conviction?
Well, you're halfway over the ocean, brother. It's year three.
Yeah, minimal standard of play.
It's year three, and you're already playing some guys that, okay, maybe physically they're gifted and they should start and they should be NFL material, but man, they're skipping steps in development.
Oh God, skipping! They're jumping straight, and there's no repercussions for them.
Nope.
Look, 21 is who we're talking about here, and it's very easy to see, but you know there are others. I'm sure there are examples of that.
How the hell's Wilbon start? And I like Wilbon, and I like Lamar, but how's Wilbon start off of a bum ankle? I mean, if you're a Zigbo, I'm starting to kind of buy into him. He has every right to have a PO'd attitude. Because he's been the most healthy, best back you've had after cranking out 100-yard games, and he doesn't even start. I mean, there's been some idiotic decisions from a personnel standpoint, and it's a little thing that's a big message to make you wonder, how's the rest of the team going to process this and respond to it? And then you get, we'll come out of the tunnel, but we'd like to stay in against Ohio State. You got a lot of problems. And can it all be put behind you for a common, let's go get Purdue. Let's go play some ball. Let's go be everything we can be to try and win out and force the new athletic director to really evaluate this. Because your margin for error is zero. You have to be perfect to continue this experiment, really. I mean, we're just going to be honest. And if you're not perfect, how far from it are you? And that's the biggest thing that Bill Moos has spent time talking about. It's not even a win total or a number. It's a look. It's an absolute effort. It's a mindset. It's this group that wants to go win and play for their coach. They're engaged. They're excited. They're passionate. And you've seen minimal parts of that, at least going back to the Ohio State game.
Here's one more thing. Yeah. No, you have. And there's been a lot of talk about, well, how does Nebraska practice? You know, did they practice physically enough? Or do they just kind of, you know, just go through the motions, practice formations and steps as opposed to like the actual collision sport that they're playing? And I mean, I don't know. I don't go to practices. Right. Like, I'm just going to admit that. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm some practice diagnosis expert and I see practices all over the nation. But I do know this. Do you remember? You remember the play where Stoltenberg broke free and met the back in the backfield against Ohio State?
Yep. And missed him.
And what was all over him. And the running back just gave him a sort of a one-arm stiff arm and completely got away.
Okay. I was thinking of a different example when they did get to the backfield. But no, absolutely. You had a guy half the size of Mick, give him a little jab to the shoulder pad, and then get away.
Mick was all over him. And it looks like, and I was like, what? Did I just see that? Rewound that play four or five times. And it looks, you know what it looks like? It looks like practice when you're just tagging off.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When
you're talking about habits, practice habits coming into a game.
Dude, it looked exactly like that. It looks like we're not tackling to the ground. Just get in the position. And he was absolutely in the position to meet the running back in the backfield. And it was almost like it happened so fast because the Ohio State back, Dobbins, is really damn good. That sort of startled Nick in some ways. And it's like his habits kicked in and he just sort of, he kind of gave him a hug as opposed to drilling this dude. You know, and who knows where his eyes were? Disclaimer there that maybe Mick was kind of looking somewhere else and the back was just all of a sudden on him and didn't know it. But it looks like, yeah, that's what you do in practice. You don't tackle him to the ground. You wrap him up, whistle blows, okay, play's over. Great job, Mick. But in the game, you need to destroy that guy. You need to destroy that guy. And you're like, I don't know. It really jumped out at me. It's like, wow, maybe there is something to that not practicing hard thing, because that looks like Mick, something he has done in practice hundreds of times and been lauded for it and done what he's supposed to do in practice. And it actually translated into a game.
Well, and I'll say this, and we'll get to our rewind segment with Bill Moos, weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranek. Instead of the 100 reps of live work where you are taking somebody to the ground, it's the other end, like you just touched on, where you are tagging off. I think there's a monster fear with this staff of getting people hurt, and the live work you're doing when you are hitting, it's not a lot of time put into it. And again, I'm guessing at this, but I would put money down that it is. It is more of a pro style. And from a preparation standpoint, you're practicing, but there's not a lot of contact going on during practice. There's not a lot of simulation speed-wise where you're going one-on-one with somebody in a tackle or evasive type drill. So when you get to the game time, it's night and day game speed-wise. And then from a fundamental standpoint, you haven't been working on it all week to tackle somebody, a live human being. Not tagging off, not thudding up, not. There's a fear from day one they've got here. They've been cursed with the injury bug, and I think they're. And I'm going back to Foster. Okay, I mean, think of Foster a year ago. Think of DeMornay's injury 2 years ago, and I know that wasn't anything to do with practice, but they've had a number of dudes get hurt. So I think they're deathly afraid of that. And
well, sure. Hey, but. Check that out.
I'm not making excuses for it. I'm telling you why.
No, I get it. Yeah, you've had a number of guys hurt practicing like that.
Sure.
What does that tell you? It kind of doesn't matter if you practice. Like, if you go really physical, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to get starters hurt? Well, you're getting starters hurt anyways.
Yep.
What's that? So why not practice the sport that you're playing? Which is a really violent physical sport. Yep. Why not get your guys ready for that? Because I'll tell you, Ohio State's ready for that.
Yes, they are.
Wisconsin's ready for that.
Yes, they are. We'll see if Nebraska is ready for that in West Lafayette. We'll get caught up with Brandon Vogel. We'll get caught up with Gary Sharp. Wilderness Ridge. Now, I've told you about Wilderness Ridge Golf. And, you know, still some weather that is conducive to golf. But let me tell you about what's coming up when it comes to their Halloween brunch at Wilderness Ridge, October 29th from 10 to 2. And the child with the best costume will be entered to win a family four-pack of breakfast with Santa tickets. Each adult brunch purchase through November 5th will be entered to win that Thanksgiving brunch opportunity November 23rd. If you haven't been to Wilderness Ridge for their Sunday brunch, it is amazing. I'm an Eggs Benedict guy. They do that to perfection. Biscuits and gravy, omelets, fresh fruit, crepes. You have the bakery set up in section, and all the fixings, the waffles. It's great. Wilderness Ridge Brunch, and what they've got going too with their brunch treats: that fall harvest salad, ghost shepherd's pie, pumpkin spiced waffles, monster donuts, the Frankenstein Rice Krispie treats, and the slime cupcakes. That sounds pretty good, and can make a reservation for the Halloween brunch at Wilderness Ridge today. That will be October 29th, a week from Sunday, or I should say tomorrow, because we are close to November. Make that reservation, wildernessridgegolf.com, where you can log on. A quick timeout and our chat with Athletic Director Bill Moose, part of the Rewind, next on Hail Varsity.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
But we start off with new athletic director at Nebraska, Bill Moose, with this. Bill, thanks for a few minutes today, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Getting settled in okay? Getting comfortable with the move to Lincoln?
Oh, yeah. Hit the ground running, but that's the way I wanted it. And really enjoying things and getting to know people in Lincoln. They've been outstanding.
Bill Moose with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Well, Bill, wanted to start off with your approach, and your resume speaks for itself. But when it comes to evaluation of programs, football, basketball, pick a sport, tell me a little bit about your approach and what type of signs you're looking for direction-wise for programs that kind of fit your vision.
Well, I typically take some time to observe and assess all the programs and really all the various departments within the athletic department, and we're in the process of doing that right now. At first brush, really appears that we have wonderful people, very dedicated people that really like being here and enjoy Lincoln and, of course, the University of Nebraska. But we're just getting started with that, and, of course, a lot of media time, which I wanted as well. So I need to really take a real good look and have a chance to sit down with all these folks, and that's all on the schedule here in the next couple of weeks.
Bill Moose with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Think back to when you started your football career, and what was it about the sport that made you fall in love with it?
Oh, gosh, you know, I grew up on a wheat and cattle ranch.
Yep.
And a very, very small school, and my parents were graduates of Washington State, and they would take my sister and me to homecoming from the time I was about 7 or 8 years old. And when I saw that pageantry and all the excitement and the passion of the fans, and then of course the gridiron heroes coming onto the field, I started that dream way back then, and fortunately had a chance to live it myself. And I've always used that as somewhat of a foundation for my career in athletic administration, that I actually went through the recruiting process, actually played the game, and was a part of a team that was pretty successful. And all the lessons I learned along the way from coaches and the great friendships and relationships with my teammates, it was very special and continues to be today.
What are a couple of lessons you remember from coaches?
Oh, I was pretty heavily recruited, and I thought I was pretty good. And I got to college and found out I wasn't as good as I thought I was. And it took a while to set that bar and to reach it. But I learned from them, and a couple of them in particular that I hold very dear, how far I could go and just how far I could push myself, and what hard work and discipline could do, and having a focus and a plan for my life, and really so many things that I decided at that time I really would like to someday be in their place, or even better, in as an athletic director, to put those lessons in place with young people as they grow through and get started in their professional life.
Bill Moose, a few minutes with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. What sold you on Nebraska, Bill, and what sold Nebraska on you? How did both mesh to become what you have now?
Well, Nebraska is a storied program. When I grew up, as a young boy, all the way through college and after, on Thanksgiving weekends, you watched the Nebraska-Oklahoma game. I can remember watching those games in a drafty old farmhouse on a black and white TV in the parlor. And so later in my career, I became friends with former Nebraska players that spoke volumes about then Coach Devaney and later Coach Osborne and what a special place it was. And then as I got into the profession, we all knew, all my colleagues knew, which were the real top programs in the country, and there's about 10 of them, and Nebraska is one, and that's how I've always looked at it. And as you know, I was at my alma mater at Washington State. We rebuilt that program over the period of 7 years, and felt very good about that, very proud of what we accomplished. But I told my wife, and she agreed, that if one of these three or four that I had on my list ever opened, I wanted to take a run at them if it felt right, and Nebraska was at the top of that list, and it felt right.
Bill Moose with us on Hail Varsity. You mentioned lists, Coach, of coaches and places to be. And I wanted to ask you about that that list that AD's keep in their drawer, specifically the list that had Mike Leach's name on it and maybe some other coaches on it. Do you have a recollection of some of the other names on that list that was with Leach?
Yeah, but I will say that Mike Leach was the top person on that list at the time, because I really felt that he would fit our program. But some of the other ones, I don't know if it would be just to say them, but
sure.
They have fabulous careers going on right now. But I just felt that Mike, with his style, his national personality, his air raid offense, the fact that he was a small town guy, was born and raised in Cody, Wyoming, and of course he had 10 years in Lubbock, Texas, that he would be a good fit in Pullman, and that his offense could entertain our fans while we were building the program, which had a lot of work to do. So it worked out.
Bill Moose is with us. Bill, what are some traits that, or some things, some ingredients is a better word, that take a program from that 7-9 win window and all of a sudden it pops to 10 and beyond? Because you've seen that happen at Oregon when you were there, and Coach Leach has things going well for Washington State right now, and it's looking like that. Nothing's guaranteed, obviously, but how does a program make that jump to kind of that next tier?
Well, it was a little bit different challenge at both of those locations, because we had to change the culture of the fan base. We needed to rebrand. We needed to form an identity. Of course, build facilities, I said, and just really start from scratch. At the University of Nebraska, a lot of those things are already in place. A great brand, a nationally recognized brand, superb facilities, all the resources anyone could ask for. I think one of the real bonuses and what was attractive to me was the leadership in Chancellor Green and President Bounds. And And, of course, maybe first on the list, I should have really focused on this passionate fan base, because it's known throughout this industry, and not just in football, but you look at that volleyball program and others. I was at soccer last night. That was so impressive. This is a fabulous place. It's a great, great town. I'm eager to go get up to Omaha and get to know those folks, and really all the smaller towns around the entire state, which I think I can really relate to. We're going to put that on our schedule as well. It's just, for me, a really, really good fit, and especially at this time in my career.
You've had a chance to see Coach Cook. What impresses you about the culture he has with the volleyball team?
Just look at his record. Walk into that building and look at the banners of the All-Americans and the national championships and the conference championships. And he's tough and he's dedicated, and I like that. And it works. And I got a chance to talk to his team the other day. He asked me to. We were taking a facility tour, and I told them that. They were my poster child for Husker Athletics, because they got there, they've stayed there, they've built a culture and a tradition where the incoming players want to make sure they don't let the next generation down, and it's something that really feeds on itself if you can sustain it.
What's your impression right now of the Big Ten from a football standpoint, just where Nebraska is at right now and then where they need to go? I mean, just the league difficulty navigating that, how difficult is it?
Well, I've always been impressed with the Big Ten, and for a couple of reasons. One is that it's got a very, very, very high regard in the higher education for the quality of universities that make up the Big Ten, all 14 of them, and so we're with good company, and they are with us, and that's really was very important. Secondly, Jim Delaney is an outstanding commissioner. I've known Jim. I had a real nice visit with him on Monday. He called me my first day on the job, and I'm really looking forward to working with him. You can talk about all the sports. But football, it's a traditional powerhouse in football, and you know the stories about Michigan and Ohio State. Penn State is back with a miraculous job James Franklin has done there, you know, digging out of the ashes of all of their problems from a few years back. And there's others. There's Iowa. There's Michigan State. And with scholarship limitations and with the equal television distribution, you see a lot of parity anymore. But what Nebraska needs to do is be Nebraska. We've been mentioned in the same breath as those top teams that I talked about just a moment ago, and others, including Alabama and Texas and USC and Florida, et cetera. And it's going to be my job to see that is restored and that we are back in our rightful place.
Bill Moose with us, Sail Varsity Radio. Bill, you've been so gracious with your time. Wanted to get you out of here on this, and thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us. Is there a specific Mike Leach adventure you can share with us? Coach Leach is a dear friend of the show, and we love talking with him, and he's always just a treat to just chat with, right? But you hired the man. What's one time with him that sticks out? Did you ever get to go fishing with him? Let me start there.
No, he like I said, he's a perfect fit at Washington State, but when I went to interview him kind of under the radar back in 2011, and I had everything set up there at at a hotel suite in Key West, and he comes in, and I had all of my vision and all the branding and the renderings of facilities that were yet to have been built and all of that, and we were together for 4 hours, and I really think we may have gotten 20 minutes of football discussed. And we were on Winston Churchill and George S. Patton and George Armstrong Custer, Geronimo. Sitting Bull came into it. And then we got into missing school because of snow days in Cody, Wyoming, and it went on. And I thought to myself, that first of all, this is a very brilliant individual. Who I think would fit well, and a lot of it has to do with the fit. But I did call Mike about 4 or 5 weeks ago, right around midnight. I needed a quick answer on something, and finally got off the phone at 4:30 in the morning, and I wasn't doing much of the talking.
That sounds about right. Bill Booth's with us. Bill, we'll catch up again. Welcome to Nebraska. Thanks for your time today with us here on Hail Varsity.
It was my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
One final time, Hour 1, Weekend Edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick, action hero Colton Stone producing and engineering. Big thanks to Bill Moose for giving us time this week. And he was our rewind segment. Lots to react to, if you like. 466-3776 from Bill Moose. Just where Nebraska should be. And his evaluation process, as he'll be on hand in West Lafayette. Kranick, we ran out of time before getting to the rewind segment. But you were on to something about some of the habits that are built up Monday through Thursday and have been off come game time.
Looks like it anyways, right?
Yeah.
It just, and we're talking about in particular, like, you know, Mick Stoltenberg, who I think we all know is a gifted player, good player. He meets J.K. Dobbins in the backfield and just sort of tags off, like, in a game. Something you would see in a practice. By the way, hey, a little bit of a different topic. How about Bill Moose? Everybody's noticing the qualifiers he uses when discussing Riley, right?
Yes.
He's my coach right now. All I can do is support him while he's my coach.
Right. And
he's not being so subtle about where he's leaning.
He's just being honest.
Yeah. He's not being subtle being about where he's leaning.
Well, you can read into it that way, but it is a new situation, and there's no way to avoid the elephant with direction of the program, wins, losses, and how this team looks. And you just hired a guy that firmly believes when he looks at a top 10, Nebraska is that they are part of the co-op in that building. They're just not renting space, and he'll be hell bent on getting it back there.
Nebraska has to be up there with like Ole Miss and Georgia before this year in terms of underperforming compared to recruiting.
Yeah,
has to be. I don't know how you would measure that, but has to be.
Well, you measure it by wins and losses. Mark Kranick, Chris Schmidt, and Brandon Vogel from West Lafayette when we come back. Hour 2 on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranick.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Hour 2, Weekend Edition, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick, action hero Colton Stone. And we head to West Lafayette. Mr. Brandon L. Vogel. At Brandon L. Vogel of Hail Varsity on Twitter. We're going to get caught up with Vogues in about 20 minutes. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, jumps on the show as well. Vogues, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're good. You know, we spent the first hour spending a little bit of time on, you know, what's not translating to the field. And there's been some snippets, and Kranak nailed this during the Ohio State game, where you had a guy in position to make a tackle and was unable to do so. And we're talking practice habits into refined game habits. And there's so many areas to start that have been so inconsistent and up and down that it has led to what today is. And yes, it's another football game. Yes, it's a chance to get to 500. But the fear out there is real. And it's been a growing fear of not dominating these teams you're supposed to be better than, but the fear of not performing and losing to teams, the embarrassment side of things that Nebraska fans hate most. They don't like losing, but they don't like being embarrassed. And whatever the point margin is in a loss, there are certain teams you don't fall to. Nebraska Vogues underdogged to Purdue. Not underdogged a year ago. They lost 2 years ago. You were up there for it. But now we're looking, staring at a -5.5, says Vegas. What a whirlwind this season has been. What does tonight's game mean to you?
Well, it's sort of the first step towards whatever may be when we reach the end of the regular season here at the end of November. So, I mean, Nebraska still has some things in front of them. They're not the things that Nebraska fans probably came into the season hoping they would be. But there is – so it essentially becomes kind of what can you salvage? Can you look better over your last five than you did over your last seven? And not even necessarily better, although that's part of it, but more consistent. And, you know, it was interesting. You mentioned the things that aren't translating. I don't know if it's not translating or if it's just something that Nebraska doesn't do very well right now. But I think tackling, the one you guys mentioned, is probably the biggest thing. If you could wave a magic wand over this team and say, you can fix one thing, what would you make it? If they were an excellent tackling team, like top 10, 15 in the country, I think it would make a big difference on the overall bottom line here, which is wins and losses.
Brandon Vogel with us, managing editor for Hail Varsity. The play that I was talking about is, I mean, and you can talk about number 21, of course, but was Mick Stoltenberg meeting J.K. Dobbins in the backfield and just sort of like wrapping up. And then Dobbins just gives him a almost like a jab stiff arm and just breaks away with ease. Do you remember that play? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do remember that one, and there was one that was kind of eerily similar, I think, against Wisconsin, where you had a chance to get a stop in the backfield, didn't, and it turned into a huge play. Yeah.
And in hindsight, and who knows where his eyes were, like maybe the running back came up on him when he wasn't even looking at him, or who knows. But didn't it look like that? That's exactly what it looks like in practice when you're just tagging off.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, and to where it's like, he's literally not ready to play at game speed. That's something that he has probably done 100+ times in practice, where they just kind of blow the whistle. You don't take anybody to the ground, and then that actually translated into the game. That's what it looked like. Do you think there's something to that?
There could be, you know, not knowing fully, I guess, what their practices look like at this stage. We know a little bit about what they look like in fall camp. I mean, it definitely could be, and I think that's probably a challenge for a lot of teams, you know, like forgetting who it was. It was a team that's running in the top 10 right now. I talked about how they recently basically eliminated tackling from practice. It's one of those things that when it shows up in the games, it's always going to be a pain point. If you end up tackling pretty well in games and maybe you don't tackle tongue in practice, well, who cares? So again, it always comes back to sort of that bottom line. But with a team that's this young and this in a new system, I think it's something worth looking at.
Brandon Vogel's with us. He is in West Lafayette, Hail Varsity Radio, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Here is a challenge, and I'm going to zoom out here, not just from Nebraska, but you look at Florida State now. I mean, just got smoked last night, didn't look good at all. And the offensive line is getting crushed, and they haven't been playing up to what Florida State lines are supposed to be like. But this is an ongoing thing, it seems like, in college football, unless you're Clemson or unless you're Alabama. Penn State seems to be pretty good. Ohio State seems to be right there. But Gary Barnett said this week that because of the contact restrictions and the player safety, not blaming it but telling you why, you have a bigger onus on either finding kids that are better tacklers or tough kids when it comes to recruiting versus the development phase where you can make guys tough players back even 5-10 years ago when there was more of a positive attitude towards live work in practice. So that's a reality in college football today. And while it drives you nuts if you're a Nebraska fan against some of the better teams where you look like just outmanned and out-toughed, it is an issue in college football for some squads, except for 3 to 4 teams that do a pretty good job of either saying, forget about it, we're going to run our program and there's going to be live work, or they're just good at recruiting really talented kids that come in more tackle or tackling ready.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a couple of things. I think that's probably a tough thing to teach at the high school level. I mean, you can teach basic tackling technique, and you can drill on it at high school, but in terms of skills that translate, however good of a tackler you are, whatever sort of attitude you bring to it, doing it in high school is a lot different than your first college game when you show up and have to do it there. And the other thing is what probably 85-90% of college offenses now are designed specifically to make the opposing defenses make tough tackles in terms of spread offenses, tackles in space, you know, one-on-one situations, all of that stuff. So tackling has probably gotten harder. You get less time to work on it. And it kind of just seems like that's the way football's going. And when you start to think about player safety things, it's probably not a bad direction for football to go. But it does make this sort of a strange time, I guess, because we're in the process of that evolution. We can still remember what it used to look like, specifically Big Ten football used to look like 10 or 15 years ago, and what it's looking like 15 years from now, something going to be much different, and we're seeing that transition right here. So tackling is probably one of the most undervalued skills, I would say, throughout the country.
Brandon Vogel is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Brandon, not trying to put you on the spot here, but as you understand it from what you've heard, while I-Course was still in charge, you have Billy Devaney in place, you have Mike Riley in place. How do you understand sort of the division of labor, the decision tree, I guess, on recruiting, personnel decisions, all that? Where did Devaney fit into that whole mix with Riley while I-Course was in place?
Well, it seems to me that he had a pretty big part in personnel decisions. I mean, that was sort of his expertise. That's why you bring a guy like that in, and it wouldn't make a lot of sense to do that and then ask him to kind of sit in the back of the room and wait until he's called on. So everything I've heard about it, and of course, you know, nobody gets to really see this and know exactly how it works, is he has a pretty substantial role in terms of personnel, helping Nebraska formulate its recruiting plan and things of that nature. So I don't know if that's changed post I-Course, but I kind of doubt that it would. It would be tough to make a switch like that midstream when you're in the middle of the season.
So I want to be clear on kind of the insinuation I'm making here, so just so it's not misread. The rumors that you hear is that Riley was more or less hamstrung, didn't get to make key recruiting decisions or even decisions on who starts. Does that jive with what you've heard? And if so, can we judge Riley fairly on this year when you have a head coach that is basically precluded from making those key decisions?
Well, that's certainly more severe, I guess, than anything that I have heard along those lines. Okay. So I can't say that I can on that end. But to answer your second question, yeah, I do think it's still fair to judge pretty much, I guess, fairly overall, because personnel decisions are part of this, but I don't think it's sort of Nebraska's root problem. Part of being a successful college football coach is dealing with the constant turnover, the eternally rotating personnel. I mean, it's really, when you think about it, one of the defining factors of the game. So you can get one team up and operating at as high a level as possible, and then you got to do it again. And in 4 years, you're going to have an entirely new one. So can you keep doing it? That's really what defines the great ones from the good ones. So I wouldn't factor out if that were what was happening, if Mike Riley only had 80% control of the personnel on the field or whatever it may be, I still think there are bigger things out there that you would have to evaluate without sort of factoring that in.
If that is the case, whatever the percentage is, and there's some leeway given to a personnel director, that blows me away, because you're the head coach. It's your neck on the line. It's your program, and you're the one who will be forced to answer for the performance. To not have total autonomy is unacceptable. So, I who knows, man? Let's talk Purdue. Let's talk Purdue. And you kind of your feel going into this tonight, Brandon, with the main question here, and that is, you know, what's Nebraska's psyche like heading in?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of shocking if you start to look at the numbers. Purdue and Nebraska are virtually the same team. Purdue's attempted, I think, two more passes than Nebraska has, and one more run. So, like, the run-pass splits, what they try to do offensively, through seven games each, it has been about the same. They're averaging the same yards per play virtually. So it's going to be a little bit one of those mirror games when you look at Nebraska's offense and what Purdue's offense wants to do. I think Purdue's been a little bit more explosive in terms of big plays on offense. That's one thing that could swing this. Nebraska's defense has been better than Purdue's at preventing those. They're actually 14th right now in number of 20-plus yard gains allowed. So that sort of core principle of Diaco's defense, that they're getting that part of it done. Now you're still seeing a ton of points on the board, so there are breakdowns elsewhere. But I kind of expect a classic Big Ten game. You've got if you were shooting Big Ten the movie, you would want this classic Big Ten gray sky that we have. So everything seems to be in order for a 2017 game of some such, one way or the other.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. I have a hard time just breaking down Purdue. I don't know. Just at this point in the season, it seems so fruitless. But I do know that you visited with Bill Moose in person for some time this week, right?
Well, on the phone, but yes.
Yeah, okay, on the phone. What was your general takeaway with that interaction? Did you get hints from him either way in terms of what he's thinking in his now first week on the job?
Yeah, you know, so I spoke to him on Thursday for a story that's going to go in the magazine, and you'll probably start to see some pieces come out online with it as well. One of my big impressions was probably not that revelatory, but the guy really loves football. Like, you get him talking about football. I asked him what the best college football game he's ever seen in person was, and he came back with a 1993 Montana-Delaware game, which, when I went back and looked it up, is a deserving choice. It's kind of a a football hipster choice when you think about it, in terms of off the record or off the beaten path games. You know, the big thing was I was really interested in leadership with him, not just from his point of view, but what he looks for in people that he's chosen to lead his programs in the past. And I think one of the interesting things there was I asked him if with things sped up on the coaching front, coaches don't get 6 years now. They might get three or four. Has it also sped up on the other end with guys who become the next big thing getting anointed earlier? And his comments, you know, to paraphrase here, he said up-and-comers are good. You have to worry a little bit about are they a flash in the pan, and then compare that against guys who've maybe done it for a decade. So he did a good job of not tipping off any future hand there, I think. But you get the sense that experience and proven experience means a lot for him when it comes time to look at coaches.
Uh-oh. Okay, so the – all right. There's a lot in there. All momentum, if there's a change, is clearly pointed in Scott Frost's direction. That's not any kind of revelation here. That's just where Husker Nation's at. I would borderline say people are expecting Scott Frost to get the offer and then hopefully take the job. But you're getting the sense from that conversation – that it's not so black and white in Bill Moose's mind, at least right now.
That was my takeaway. It's a difficult spot to be in, but you have to think about it from an athletic director's perspective. You know, facilities are pretty good. Moose has said that. He said it to me. All of that stuff that you may have to do at some other jobs is kind of off the table for a little bit. They've got minor improvements to make, but they don't need to come in and build a new set of suites on the stadium. So what does the job really become? Well, it's clear everyone wants Nebraska football to be better than it has been over the last decade and a half. So that kind of becomes priority number one. Do you want to come in? So if you're willing to take on that challenge as an athletic director, do you want to come in and basically have the decision, probably the key factor in whether or not that happens, made for you? I don't think many people would come into a job willing to accept those terms if they were so starkly presented.
The impression that I get from AD Moose, and he's going to do his own thing, and that's not groundbreaking, but I think he's... Bogues, now, what's your take on this? I think he is so good at researching everything, covering everything when it comes to what's in front of him. I think he'll be able to, not be swayed by the fan base, but if he thinks a decision needs to be made, he's comfortable making that call. But he'll go with his gut and his experience. And that history speaks well. The other side of that coin is the Nebraska fan base and how their reaction would be if they don't get who they think they want.
Yeah. I mean, if Nebraska's in a position to consider Scott Frost as a head coach, be it this year or at any point in the future, well, you know, any point in the next couple of years, I'll say, it's going to come down to that determination of just how good, in your estimation, as a decision maker, do you think he is going to be? Because whatever this season ends up, and it looks like it's going to end up pretty good for UCF, you're still only going to have 2 years as a head coach to go on, or 3 or 4 years. So what is the ceiling there? Do you think Frost's ceiling is Urban Meyer, or is it David Cutcliffe? Because then your determination there influences which way you go with anybody else, how far down the road you go. So the fact that Scott Frost is the people's choice here and that he has a history with Nebraska complicates that a little bit, because a lot of people have already jumped to that sort of determination without, I think, really looking at, okay, we know he's good right now. Like, how good do you think he can be? Like, is he one of the all-time greats? Is he, or can you go get somebody who's already a little bit further ahead? We'll see. You know, Nebraska's not in that spot yet, but it does make for interesting conversation.
Brandon Vogel with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So the thing that I think would have fans pulling their hair out right now that are all on the Frost bandwagon is, my God, it's staring you right in the face. And if Nebraska's been consistent with anything in recent years, it's been that they just take the hard road. They make it harder than it is. Bo made it harder than it was. Steve Peterson made it harder than it was. Ikorst made it harder than it is. And here's a case of just like, it's right there. He's a native son. He studied under Osborne and Walsh and Parcells and Gruden, and his mom was a coach, for Christ's sake. Like, just stop. Don't make it more difficult than it is. Bring him in. So if that doesn't happen, who out there do you think Nebraska can make a run at?
I don't totally know at this point. But I think if you decide that A, you can't get Scott Frost, or B, you're not going to, the challenge then becomes you've got to somehow be able to trump that for your fan base. Come in with something that's totally proven, a coaching hire where the fan base says, oh, well, we would have loved to have the guy who played here, but we know this is going to work. We're reasonably certain this is going to work. And there's probably only, in my estimation, maybe five or six of those guys in the country. So can you go pry one? And those guys have pretty good jobs. Can you go pry one of those guys away? I think it becomes a pretty tough challenge for any school, really. But Nebraska is certainly in that group.
Vogues, to wrap up, what's coming up from you and the folks that are up there with you from Hail Varsity? You got Jacob and Derek and Mr. Aaron Babcock and yourself, man. You guys will be all over Purdue, Nebraska, correct?
We will. So we'll have our usual complement of post-game coverage. Jacob's got a column going up here shortly on sort of the mountain that Riley has left to climb this season. That's a pretty interesting read. So look for that on the website here in another hour or two, or on Twitter if you follow us on Twitter. At Hail Varsity, all that stuff will be going up there, and we'll be linking back to most of our content from the week to kind of get you ready for this this evening kickoff here in West Lafayette.
All right, and Grub, what did you have last night?
We went to Bruno's Pizza, which is sort of a Hail Varsity favorite when we're here at Purdue, and it didn't disappoint. They have peanut butter, cheese, and chocolate chip pizza, which we did not try. Yeah, yeah. They have that, and they have the Drew Brees no cheese, which you cannot modify. That is Drew Brees' pizza. It has a lot of meat, but no cheese. We also did not try that one, but they're there if you want. So if somebody wants to get adventurous and come back with me, I'll give that peanut butter chocolate chip pizza a try.
Done. I'll do that. Are there pictures of Bruno up all around?
No, but Bruno is beloved in West Lafayette. He has pretty impressive memorabilia trophy collection that's all up there. It's a pretty cool place if you find yourself at Purdue.
Okay, I was hoping there weren't many pictures of the character Bruno. That's what I was. Vogues, you be good, man. Take care.
All right, guys.
See, there he is, Brandon. Thanks, Vogel, Brandon. With us. Hail Varsity Radio. You know what? I'm going to get done here after I wrap up here with Kranak. A little workout. Madonna Proactive is where I go. And Madonna Proactive is just incredible. 56th and Pine Lake in Lincoln. You sign up with Proactive this month with an annual commitment. You'll pay nothing till January. The quicker you sign up, the more you save. That's 3 months free. It's the best special of the year. And when you sign up, you'll get a free consultation with a personalized trainer, registered dietitian, and wellness coach. That's a value of $175. And there's incredible variety at Madonna Proactive. There's other clubs to go to. You're not going to find a nicer club with the best facilities like Madonna Proactive. You want to train for a 10K? You want to train for a marathon? You're trying to get into the Ironman? Or maybe you're getting up there like me and you just want the boiler to go away. Health and fitness is what they strive for, and they can do so many different things when it comes to free weights, cardio equipment, and then the classes. And swimming, that's where I'm at, the lap pool and the heated aqua track is just tremendous. Yoga studio, spinning studio, TRX studio, it's all there for you. You can log on today, take a visit, get your schedule and set up now. Call and schedule that tour with Madonna Proactive today, 56th and Pine Lake, 402-420-0000, or madonnaproactive.org is where you can log on and make your appointment today for a tour. A quick timeout. We'll get caught up with the Iron Horse. Brandon Vogel was just with us. Gary Sharp next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now it's time to get back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week. What?
Back with you, winding through the weekend edition, Purdue weekend. We welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Welcome to tropical Nebraska.
Yeah. Did you stay warm last night doing high school?
You know what? It was, you had to practice moving your mouth again when you're talking out in the elements.
Hey, were you at Burke?
You're right.
Where were you?
I had Burke and Millard North, and I saw Nick Henrich, put on a show who Nebraska offered a while ago, looking at him as an inside linebacker in their 3-4. He was by far the best player on the field. He's definitely a Power 5 guy that would be a good pickup for Nebraska, along with his teammate Chris Hickman, who is a 6'6" tight end, defensive end, who's going to Iowa on an official visit today.
Does Henrich, does he tackle?
Yes, he tackles. He's got great pursuit. You know, they use him really well in their defense, Paul Lamangi at Burke, and let him kind of play all over. But he's got great lateral quickness, and he can wrap up. And when he hits you, you're not getting away. He's by far one of the best defensive players in the state of Nebraska.
Gary Sharp's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, the Iron Horse. Sharpie, as we get ready for Purdue, wanted to get your thoughts here. A couple, three things you're interested in, storylines, as Nebraska has a chance to turn the volume down a bit today.
Well, I think that's a good phrase to use. You know, I know some people are, and really people in our business are trying to poo-poo this game and going, do you have any interest in the game? Well, you're the same fool that's complaining in the middle of the summer that, boy, there isn't football. I miss football. You know what? Regardless of how the season has unfolded in the first half of the season, you still only get to watch 12 Saturdays of football for Nebraska. And this is one of them. And this might be the most awkward football game that Nebraska's played in a long time because of the two losses, the time off since then. Since Nebraska last played a game, they hired an athletic director. People are speculating all over the place on who's going to be the next head coach at Nebraska. Well, there's still a current guy that has to coach at least five more football games. It's just a very awkward thing. I think tonight is very important for Nebraska. Now, I think Nebraska tonight, if they get guys that are playmakers to make plays that have been so inconsistent, this is a win for Nebraska tonight. But that's the unknown. We don't know how Nebraska is going to play. And a lot of people will be focused on the players. I think this shifts to the players now, guys, because the coaches can only do so much. And you can see that there are some statements where they're talking to get more time. And then players are saying, man, we love Mike Riley. Well, it's now time for the players in a road game where last year you were a 24-27 point favorite against this opponent. Now you're a 4-point to 6.5 point underdog. If you really love your coach, you will go out and you will play like you love your coach and like you've been coached up to do and win a football game that is very winnable tonight. I mean, I know Purdue got off to a good start, but Purdue has kind of come back to the pack, and in a lot of ways, both these teams are very similar. So I think there's a lot of things we'll watch that don't have to necessarily do with X's and O's, but at the end of the night, it has to do with X's and O's, and Nebraska has to win this football game.
What if they don't?
If they don't, it's over. It's officially over.
Okay.
There'll still be four more games, but it will be officially Hell Week around, because then it just ruins the month of November if you have any interest in Nebraska football, because you remember you got a home game next week. People are already kind of starting to mentally check out. I think it would be awful, awful rough. And I think I would, as a player, if I got beat by Purdue again there, I mean, I think we may have hit rock bottom. I don't know. There may be more to come. But I don't think that way. You know, one thing about Mike Riley, he's probably the best guy to handle all of this. And his start to his career, it is what it is. He's made mistakes along the way. I think on the fly he's trying to fix them. But Nebraska's in a bad spot right now. And I don't know if this season or his job is salvageable. I do know that it's important for Nebraska to get to a bowl game. Whether you got a new coach here and momentum in recruiting, to have the place dark during the winter or December when you should be getting ready for a bowl game, that does not help a roster that basically every guy returns to next year. So I think if things don't go well tonight, then I think it just is. It's a miserable November around here. And it might be miserable from the standpoint that there's still football to play, but then there becomes the, okay, what is next? What's the excitement of who's going to be here and who's going to be taking this program into 2018?
Sharpie, this game is the biggest one of the year, obviously, until the next one, but it has kind of turned into that. Do you agree?
Yeah, because this program, unfortunately, guys, we talked about it a lot, has become day-to-day. It hasn't been, all right, we're building and we're progressing. You know, good coaches rebuild on the fly and they still win. Great coaches take that rebuild engine and win championships. And I think, well, you know, Nebraska would like to, and Mike Riley would like to have a vision that projects out to 18 and 19. To be honest, ever since 2015, look at the last time Nebraska went to Purdue. Suffered one of the worst losses in program history. At one point, they were down 42-16 to Purdue. But then look what happened. The following week, beat a ranked Michigan State team. So Nebraska's become day-to-day, which is not a good way to live when you're trying to achieve goals that are as lofty as Nebraska's. But in this case, if that's going to be the scenario right now, today is the day. Today you have to find a way to win a football game in the Big Ten West malaise. I don't care how you do it. I don't care what it looks like. You just have to find a way to win the football game and at least show some progress if you're trying to talk about, hey, I'd like to be back for 18.
Gary, look, I'm going to step away from the Nebraska versus Purdue today real quick for a conspiracy theory. And just want to know where you stand on this. Conspiracy theory. Ronnie Green and Hank Bounds went after Danny White, the UCF athletic director. He turned it down and immediately responds with, oh, my God, they're serious about Scott Frost. We need to start this football excellence fund. Starts up this fund. Then they look for, okay, well, who is in at least somewhat Scott Frost's sphere of influence? Who's out there? And they discover Bill Moose, because Bill Moose is held in high regard by Mike Bellotti. Mike Bellotti is the one that hired Scott Frost from Northern Iowa to be the receivers coach while he was at Oregon. And so that's why Bill Moose is here. Thoughts?
That is crazy. That's I might have to have a drink after that one.
No, I'm serious.
I'd offer you one, but it's gone.
Well, I mean, you know, just humor me.
I know that he wasn't a strong candidate for the job. I know that for a fact from somebody that was involved in the process. Yes.
Okay.
That's a wild conspiracy. Now, Bill Moose, as we've all heard this week, as he's made the media rounds, and Schmidt, you got a chance to talk to him, he's not a puppet. He's not a puppet at all. He was hired, and then the people that hired him have gotten the heck out of the way, and they're going to let him do his job. I think that when he decides what he wants to do, he'll act quickly. It'll be a one-man guy. What's happening at Central Florida is kind of, hey, we know we might lose our coach. And it might not necessarily, guys, be to Nebraska. Could be to another school. Could be to Florida. Could be to Tennessee. That we've got to make a statement that either if Scott Frost is going to stay here, or the next coach, that we are committed to football and that we can pay our assistants accordingly, and we're going to pack the stadium and we're going to put money into the stadium to fix it up. I think that's what you do when you have a fear that you're losing a guy as a quality a coach of Scott Frost. So I don't think that's a sign of anything towards Nebraska. Now, I will go a step further on your theories, Mark. In 2011, when Bill Moose hired Paul Wolf, or he had to fire Paul Wolf at Washington State, he had two candidates for the job that were on his list. One he hired was Mike Leach. The other guy, who he said at the time should be on everybody's list, now this was 6 years ago, was Kevin Sumlin. Kevin Sumlin could go 10-2 at College Station and say, F you, I'm out, after what happened earlier in the year with the racist letter that was sent to him, and also just, hey, you haven't supported me, I had a big year. He might start looking. So, you know, it's going to become silly season in the next month, and there'll be a lot of that stuff mentioned. But that's why, you know, at 6:30 tonight, I hope that we can all enjoy football, just the game of football, instead of all this speculation and trying to figure out what an athletic director that nobody really knows is going to do. But I know it gets clicks and it gets radio listeners and people buy papers for it. But we could come up with some wild theories, guys.
I would love to just watch and enjoy football. But the last time they took the field, that was not enjoyable.
And Mark, you're absolutely right. And that's why I'm very curious to see how they respond. And I think it's on the players. You know, I mean, guys were being knocked for not high-fiving fans during the tunnel walk. When they took the field against Ohio State, they took the field out there to win the game. But then they ran into a buzzsaw that completely demoralized them. I don't think they walked out of the tunnel and said, oh, boy, here we go. Let's just get smashed. Tonight is a whole different story. They've had time to sit back. Guys have seemed pretty optimistic. That's why I think Mike Riley is good to handle these situations. He's always optimistic. We could tell him that it's freezing in Lincoln right now, and he would say, well, but you know what? It's going to warm up. I mean, he's just kind of that guy, so there's not a lot of doom and gloom. One of the keys tonight, and you get your defensive backs healthy, and then all of a sudden Luke Gifford, who is an important cog of that defense, can't play. I think you'll watch tonight. I think getting the defensive backs together, who remember, they haven't been together as a whole group since spring football. You know, Chris Jones got injured in the middle of the summer. They've only played one series together as a whole group, and they've had 10 different defensive backs start. That could be an important piece. I think Tanner Lee is improving. I think the offensive line has settled down. I just there's something about me that tonight I think Nebraska finds a way to win this football game against a team that right now has a lot of the same warts that Nebraska does. And then after that game's over, then we can start thinking about the future again. But that's what I would like to do. After a great slate of 2:30 games today at 6:30, just enjoy some football. And hopefully the team that's playing wearing white and red, let us enjoy football for one Saturday in the month of October.
Gary Sharp's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, before we say goodbye, I need your thought on Ohio State, Penn State.
Well, I think this is 2 years ago, Leonard Fournette took on Alabama, and he was a Heisman Trophy favorite. And Alabama shut him down. And a guy on the other side of the field named Derrick Henry elevated himself into the Heisman. Saquon Barkley has been dynamic and explosive for Penn State. And that offense, which Joe Moorhead is pushing all the right buttons, has been great. Their defense is much improved. The offensive line's coming along. That's a really good Penn State team with a 45-year-old coach who has a vision and a huge personality. It's getting louder and louder the more Penn State wins. But they're playing against Ohio State, who I think it's more than stat stuffing the last 5 weeks for the Buckeyes against the likes of UNLV and Nebraska. I think this is the day that Urban Meyer says, hold on, I'm still the beast of the East. And JT Barrett has one of those feel-good moments in his career. Remember, he didn't get to finish 14 when they won the national title. He had the Michigan State game in 15. He had the Penn State game last year. I think today, after watching him last time out against Nebraska, I think JT Barrett shines today. I think it's a great game, and I think Ohio State finds a way to pull it out in adverse conditions. And when you see the college football playoff poll come out on Tuesday, I think Ohio State is in the four. Penn State doesn't fall a ton, and then I'm be curious where Wisconsin is considering their schedule right now.
No, I know, and that's the thing. Wisconsin's really good. They really have one more hurdle. That is Michigan, and Michigan's reeling right now, but it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know where they're going to get the offense, but there's still a lot of room left. Do you worry at all about the Big Ten being left out? And I ask that because stranger things have happened once you get to November. The winner of today, I mean, Ohio State has to win or they're eliminated. Michigan State's looming. Does Penn State have to stay unscathed to get there?
The one team that can't afford a loss is Wisconsin.
I think you're
because
right.
Because they're playing in the West and their strength of schedule isn't great. And they may, depending on what happens with Michigan, they may not play a ranked team until Indianapolis. So they can't afford a loss. Penn State, ideally, that's the best case scenario is they stay unbeaten.
Mm-hmm.
I think with Ohio State, if they only have the one loss on their ledger and Oklahoma finds a way to get to that Big 12 championship game, that immensely helps Ohio State. So the two teams playing today, I think, have the best opportunity to be in the playoff. Could I see a scenario? Yes, we could see all kinds of scenarios and get wild and crazy. But I think a one-loss Big Ten team will be in, and I think it'll be one of the two teams playing today.
Sharpie, enjoy your weekend, man. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
Hey, thanks, guys. Remember, it's 6:30 tonight. Enjoy some football hopefully it lasts longer than a couple of minutes.
Nah, I hear you. Absolutely. Sharpie, be good, buddy. Take care. All right.
Thanks, Gary.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm most anxious for here, man, is I get to see Nebraska play again tonight, and it's been way too long because you've had 2.5 weeks of anything but football with the bye week and then the loss, and we'll see how they respond, see how they come out. Sauter Heyman's responded to you when it comes to savings, selection, and convenience. 0% interest financing through 2020 with Sauter Heyman. Check out their extensive collection of both Earth Mind and Pure Grown Diamonds. Go see Rick and your friends today at Sauter Heyman. 1 carat diamonds available for $99 down, $99 a month. Can log on today, SauterHeyman.com, or go see a Sauter Heyman location for you. 12th and O, downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, Rod West in Grand Island. 0% interest financing through 2020 with Sauter Heyman. And those pure grown and earth mine diamonds, a great collection for you. 1 carat diamonds, 99 down, 99 a month. A quick timeout. We'll wrap up a Saturday next.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Cranick.
One final time, you miss any part of the weekend edition of Hail Varsity or any Hail Varsity episode, just log on HailVarsity.com, go to iTunes, subscribe there, it's free, or the ESPN Lincoln app. Cranick, you have always participated in confidence picks. How confident are you into tonight with Nebraska?
Not at all. I mean, just
okay.
Why should I be? Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong.
It's fair.
It's been ugly, man. We'll see. We'll see. You know, Purdue never has night games either.
No, I mean, they just got lights. They're not renting. this year.
That place is going to be as hopping as it ever is.
I have a hard time putting those two things together, Purdue and great atmosphere.
It will, though. It will. They never have night games, you know, so I'm sure they'll have a good crowd, and, you know, we'll see. Look, you know, Nebraska's got better talent, period.
Yeah.
It's not even questionable. Nebraska should win that by a pair of touchdowns, you would think, but that's not kind of how things have been going. So, yeah, I'm not confident in this one at all. Prove me wrong. It would be awesome. It'd be great to see them put on a clinical assault on somebody.
Tell me this. What is the plan for Mr. Cranick today? You got a chili pot ready to start, or what do you got going?
It might be that time. I do want to settle in for that Penn State-Ohio State game. And
yes.
Still not buying Penn State. I can't do it.
You know who I have a hard time buying?
Yeah.
JT Barrett in a big game.
I don't know. They've been just murdering.
No, they've looked
teams.
Great. They've looked great. And the other thing, too, Penn State's defense, while getting all these pats on the back, they have not faced a offense better than a top, you know, anything better than top 50. So they've been.
I can see
feasting.
Ohio State rolling big today.
Well, it's kind of setting up that way. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy football. Cranick, you're awesome. Thanks today, bud. Thanks to Colton Stone, Chris Schmidt. Back with you on Monday with Hail Varsity.